Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. If you miss any portion of this program or any programs of past, they are all up in their entirety at franksontag.com. All right, if you're just joining us, Harry called in. He probably didn't expect this long part of the story, but my sense is it's the right time to share it tonight. You know, what happened to me, I've talked at different times, alluded to having a spiritual moment in my life where my life changed. I had made mention in the previous segment about a motorcycle crash I had in 1984, searching for the meaning of life. Who am I? Why am I here? Left L.A. for a while, came back, fell into radio, new age teacher, did that till 2009. And my best friend, 3 years previous, who, by the way, hung out with me in the new age and we did a lot of stuff we don't need to mention on the air. In 2006, he became a Christian. And I thought, ugh, don't be one of them. I had a very bad taste in my mouth about Christianity. So we have lunch and they pressure me and do the whole nine yards about who am I, why am I here, and got me to say that I've stolen and cheated and lied. And they were like, well, and I'm like, no, thank you. So Pastor Dale said, if you don't make it home today, like you shouldn't have in 1984, 25 years previous, are you right with God? And I was really upset that he asked me that. And that's where I left off in the previous segment. So what he told me was, he said, do me a favor. Sit in your car and meditate with air quotes. When somebody shoots the air quotes at you, you know they're trying to make a point. And I was a meditation teacher, among other things, as a New Age leader. So would you sit in the car and meditate if you're right with God? And man, I was livid. I'm like, how dare you? I'm a New Age guru. I'm spiritual. Thousands of people follow me. Who are you to question me? I mean, I went through this whole trip in my head. But he did say to me, you have a beautiful wife at home, a baby boy. If you really don't make it home, are you right? It kind of shook me up a little bit. So I agreed to sit in my car, not start the engine, and just contemplate if I was right with God. And I will tell you, I've told the story a handful of times in the last 12 or 13 years. But Harry, if you're still listening, God bless you for hanging in there. But anybody listening, I'm just telling you, this is exactly what happened to me. It changed the direction of my life forever. And as a guy who identified as a spiritual teacher and the New Age and all the stuff I did from 1984 until 2009, all the identity that I gained and notoriety and people knew who I was and blah, blah, blah. I had rock stars coming to my lectures. And I'm not going to name drop, but I remember going to the P.O. box and pulling out a check from said rock and roll superstar. And I'm like, he wants my lecture series. I thought I was really something special. So I sat in my car and I began to get very hot. And I thought, do I have a fever? Am I all right? That particular December day, you know, in Southern California, you never know. Sometimes you have warm, sunny days in December, and that was one and the same. And I did not wear a cap. If you don't know, I'm a bald dude now in this season in my life and back then as well. So I thought that I get too much sun. Nope, I'm fine. Too much sin. That's funny. Sat in my car and thought I was okay, and as sure as you hear my voice on the radio right now, sorry, I heard a voice say, are you right? Are you ready to submit to me? And I was just in such a place where it's hard to put into words. I felt no coercion. I felt a sense of peace like I never felt in my life. I was 54. And are you ready to submit to me? And I just felt like the only way I can categorize it is I felt love. And I said, yes. And then the voice said, pick up your cross and follow me. I had no idea, never heard that before. Those of you that are Christian and you know the Bible, that's in the Bible, but I never opened a Bible up until that point in my life, so I had no biblical reference. And nothing else was exchanged. The sensation kind of went away, and I just felt, I have to tell you, I felt really free. I'd been having back problems for 25 years from the impact I took on the motorcycle. That particular day it was bothering me. After this exchange, my back felt fine. I'm like, wow. So I'm all just revved up. I'm on fire, believe it or not, as I say it. I was on fire for Jesus Christ. I thought I was changed forever. I go home, and my wife, who was also a New Ager, and we were soulmates, they had posted on Facebook, our good friend just gave his life to Christ. She was not having it. She was actually very angry. We spent some time away, and we went through about 18 months where everything was turned upside down. I lost a lot. House, my radio gig. My wife eventually came back, and God put all the pieces back together. Here's the bottom line. 5 weeks after this occurred, I remember telling my friend's older brother, I want to go back to church. I had not stepped foot in a church for 37 years. And I remember him saying, I know a good church to send you to. And when I said that, I knew something happened because you couldn't get me in a church. Weddings, no thanks, nothing. No way I was going back to church. I said, I want to go back to church. He pointed me to a small little church in Simi Valley, which was named Cornerstone. Some of you may know of Francis Chan. I started going to church. 5 weeks into that, the Bible comes at home. My wife was not home with my son. That's all I'm going to say. It's kind of a private situation. But I opened the Bible one night at 3 a.m, and the first thing I read, the Bible red letters, is the words of Jesus. And I opened the Bible, and it was the Gospel of Luke, 9:23, when I read in red letters, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me, I hit the ground. I said, oh, I can't make that up. And so I gave my life to Christ, recommitted my life to Christ in that moment. Because 5 weeks later, I have to tell you, I started to doubt what I experienced, right? So fast forward to now, I am a follower of Christ till he takes my last breath away. I have a men's ministry. This particular program is not a religious program, but I do talk about my faith from time to time. And that's what happened, Harry. I did write a book a handful of years ago. It's on my website, franksontag.com. We've lowered the price. Do not buy it at Amazon. I'm not down with the whole Amazon thing. But it's all in my book. And the very last thing I will say, we'll break and come back with regular programming. In 2012, I met a man in radio named Frank Pastore, who did an afternoon program on a Christian radio station. And I knew of Frank because he was a major league pitcher with the Reds in the 80s. And I used to listen to him before I became a Christian and thought, this guy is just an arrogant, pompous, know-it-all Christian, blah. I get radically saved. I tune in one afternoon. There's Pastore doing his program, and I thought, this guy is incredible. What happened? What changed? Me, not him. My heart was recalibrated. I've been a follower of Christ since. And in the spring of 2012, as it were, I was invited on Frank's program to share my testimony, which I just did for the first time. I stopped talking for 2.5 years. I renounced the New Age movement. What am I going to do? Talk about Jesus to New Agers? They're not interested. So I stopped talking. I was on Frank's show in the spring of 2012. We became good friends. I was on a couple of other times. And in the winter of 2012, he was killed on his motorcycle on November 19th. And he actually I won't say prophesied it on the air, but the night he was killed, he said on the air, y'all know I ride a motorcycle. And at any moment riding home, I can get taken out on the 210 freeway by some, his word, idiot, the carpool lane. Short time after his last broadcast, he was on the 210 freeway. Somebody hit him in the carpool lane, and he was in a coma for 20-some days and passed away. And he had told me when I was on his program, he said something real weird. He said, you're going to take over my program. It's all in the book. I wanted to honor Frank and his lovely wife, Gina. And in the spring of 2013, I took over his program, was on afternoons here in L.A. Monday through Friday on the Christian station in town for 8.5 years and left there in July of 2021. And now here I am. I have a men's ministry, grateful to be on KABC. And so I've got you up to date on where I am in life and who I am. And I'm nothing without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have comments, questions, anything you want to bring up, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. We have a wide open board. When we continue, one of the areas I'm going to make reference to, there's a commentary entitled, If You Want Inclusion, I've Got a List. We'll talk about that and much more as we continue. And thank you for listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show, on the first talk radio station, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on this, the Frank Sontag Show. Our numbers are 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. I know there are some of you listening right now, you are either a new listener or have never heard before, and you've got an inkling to call the program, but you're like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Call anyway. Let's just have a conversation about you, life, just the way things are going. How are you doing? It's one of the handful of things I love about talk radio is just the medium of it. And I've got no agenda. If we disagree about something, I'm not going to yell and scream and make you out to be a bad person. I mean, this is a very valuable medium. And I just love to hear from you. What do you think of the program? What are you doing on a Friday night? Are you sick of the rain and the lies? How about this one? If you listen to my program long enough, you know that I believe global warming. There is such a thing as global warming, but, you know, cyclical. Not the stuff, not the BS we're fed. Do you know Plymouth Rock? Plymouth Rock. There is a Plymouth Rock. 402 years ago, Plymouth Rock, right there. Do you know it is still at sea level? Nothing has changed. Not one iota. Plymouth Rock is still there, and the sea is still the same. And yet we hear sea level rising, end of the world, apocalypse. What a bunch of nonsense. So anyway, not sure why. There's a photo. I had to get that out. I feel better. Here's a story. A student can't attend the school that he went to, a high school, for the rest of the year in Canada because he actually was arrested for trying to attend a class after arguing that men and women are different. He was recently interviewed on Tucker Carlson. I just see Alexander. There's no last name, maybe because he's a minor. Here's a quote. There were a lot of steps that it took to get to the point of me being arrested. Female students complained to me that they were concerned because males were using their washrooms. This is a high school student in Canada. This turned into a debate at the school. I stated my opinion on it. I even used scripture to back it up. They removed me from the building for the remainder of the year, and when I attempted to attend class, I was arrested and charged. End quote. His name is Josh Alexander. He said he pointed out the school's Christian identity. This is a Canadian Catholic high school. He said he took a related discussion to school administrators who refused to hear him out. This is a high school in Ontario, Canada. He spoke his mind over concerns of men in the women's restrooms. And for that, he got arrested and barred from his school. By the way, distinguishing men from women, believing God created only two genders, as Alexander suggested, as I said, eventually led authorities to arrest and charge him. You think things are messed up in this country? I mean, that's crazy. I was on, and I can talk about it now because it's off air. I was on AM 870, The Answer, earlier today, replayed last hour. Carl Jackson is a regular fill-in on AM 870, The Answer, and he was filling in for Brandon Tatum all week, Officer Brandon Tatum. And we got a little bit into the gender issue. And the fact that we live in a day and a time where there is this gender confusion, or as in the case of Josh Alexander, I mean, biological men using the women's locker room because they say they're women. And I think it was last week I read a story from a woman athlete, maybe even an Olympian or a college, I don't remember. But she said, now we're the ones that are intolerant when we say, get this guy out of our locker room. The emotional response would be, this is insanity. It's not insanity. It's evil. In culture, a handful of the loud voices continue to scream about this under the auspices of inclusion, right? So get this. I mentioned in the previous segment a little bit of my testimony. I was raised Catholic, walked away from the Catholic Church. I'm not a practicing Catholic now. But there is a man named Timothy Dolan. He is a Roman Catholic Archbishop of New York, and he recently wrote this piece on inclusion. Listen to this. He said, if you want inclusion, I've got a list. This is Archbishop Timothy Dolan. I'm proud that my country and my church are both committed to the noble ideal of inclusion. Everyone should feel loved and respected. All people must share in all rights. We couldn't dare to claim to be one nation under God if it were otherwise. Yet society and the church are falling short of this noble ideal. He's talking about the Catholic Church. By accepting one dominant cultural narrative that presumes to define those who are excluded, we are ignoring those who don't tidily fit into the prevailing cultural storyline. Want some examples? Archbishop Dolan says this. Moms and dads in lifelong, life-giving marriage, cherishing a large number of children, who are routinely ridiculed and regularly stereotyped as threatening to the planet. Another example, fragile unborn babies who have no legal protection in most states, with all of us forced to pay for the taking of their lives. Another one, parents, especially struggling ones, who must pay constantly increasing taxes to support monopoly government schools and who are denied the right to use tax dollars to send their children to the schools of their choice. Reminds me of my friend Larry Elder, who has always talked about school choice. Citizens who, for ethical reasons, cannot obey the tidal wave of bureaucratic decrees on health care and are forced to choose between their consciences and their jobs. Archbishop Timothy Dolan wrote a commentary, if you want inclusion, I've got a list. Also on his list, a gay person trying his best with God's grace to live according to biblical teaching, who hears church leaders call that morality unjust and oppressive. Immigrants who came to this country eager to work in the belief that America was a sanctuary, but who can't get a labor permit and are treated with scorn. Another on the list, a woman who chooses to give birth to a baby while worried by hints and even outright threats that she'll lose her job. Young people who are spiritually thirsty for a sense of awe, reverence, and transcendence, but who have difficulty finding a church to satisfy their needs. Relief agencies labeled as lawbreakers by members of Congress for welcoming, feeding, and housing refugees. This is a list put together by Archbishop Timothy Dolan on the issue of inclusion. Our beloved elders near the end of life who are coaxed into feeling useless, a burden with euthanasia, the answer. Few more. Folks who want only inspiration, encouragement, and clear teaching from their pastors and religious leaders, but who instead must listen to dissent every Sabbath. Police officers who face danger daily, who see their colleagues killed and wounded, their resources shrinking, and the criminals they apprehend released in 1 hour. Elderly people who are afraid to take the bus or subway or to walk down the block for milk and bread. And finally, one more on this list. Parents who work two jobs, save for decades to send their children to college, struggle to pay back the loans they had to take, only to see their neighbors with weekend homes have their loans forgiven. Archbishop Dolan writes, "These good people tell us they are also marginalized and excluded. Rarely do I find them bitter, angry, or judgmental. They too want a society that is inclusive, not merely for the groups now chic to defend, but for all." And I'll be forthright and honest. I don't agree with everything on that list. But I'm not one that necessarily reads or follows with everything that just validates my ideology. I want my ideology challenged. That's why we even talk on this program about I embrace disagreement. If you want to take me to task about something, so be it, as long as you're respectful. But we don't live in those times. We live in cancel culture times where we don't want to even hear we, the large, overgeneralized we of culture. We don't want to hear anything that doesn't go along with our ideology, right? And this is kind of oxymoronic. Institutions of higher learning, no such thing anymore. They've been brainwashing our sons and daughters for decades now. And now little Johnny and Janie go off to school and they come home 4 years later and they're like, they're different. And we're thinking, what happened to our child? They've been brainwashed by the left, which has taken over universities and colleges all across the country. Cancel culture. Safe spaces. Goodness. Having speakers invited to college campuses. There was a big story out of Stanford recently where a circuit court judge, a conservative circuit court judge, was invited to speak at Stanford. And he was shouted down not only by students, by some of the faculty as well. It's just disgusting. Intolerance is alive and well. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. What's on your mind? How are you? Would love to hear from you. Or you can email me at frank@kmgministries.com. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. One of the many reasons I am blessed to be on the air is sponsorship, and I want to thank Dan Johnson from the Berglund and Johnson Law Group. They have been, well, serving our community for more than 40 years, fighting for those who have suffered life-changing injuries, tragically even some lost their lives. In fact, Berglund and Johnson came alongside when my good friend Frank Pastore was killed on his motorcycle. Gina, his wife, reached out to them, and they did an incredible job. They are fantastic. If you've been hurt or injured seriously, or even if you would like to reach out to them, call Berglund and Johnson for a free evaluation, 1-800-4-IF-HURT, 1-800-4 and the words if hurt. If you already have an attorney, you can call them also. Get a second opinion regarding your case. It costs you nothing to find out if Berglund and Johnson can indeed help you. All right, let's go to the phones. Let us talk to one of my favorite callers, Brent in Los Angeles. Brent, you're on 790 KABC.
Hello, Frank. You know, you may not think it, but I think you're all that and a bag of chips supersized.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. And I originally wanted to call about Coach Farmer and the current state of professional sports from a spiritual, moral, and society-building perspective. But your story about having a spiritual awakening after a near-death, it reminded me of a story that the wonderful Rabbi Noah Weinberg would always tell his students. Mm. And he said he had invited an elite university student to come and study at his yeshiva, which is a Jewish seminary. Mm-hmm. And the kid got sarcastic and snarky with him. He said, "Rabbi, I don't need to study about God. I'm very close with God." And so Rabbi Weinberg, you know, just was a very patient guy. He just said, "Oh, really? Tell me about it." He says, "Well, I was riding my bike up a steep, winding mountain road when a car veered right at me, and I had to turn away, and I found myself falling 100 feet onto solid rocks. And I thought I was dead, and what happened was God saved me." And he says, I don't think I need to study." And so Rabbi Noah Weinberg looks at him, and he's thinking. He says, "Who do you think threw you off the cliff?"
Wow.
And you had the insight to take a near-death experience, and it brought you closer to God. And some people, if they need to be blind, you know, they can just keep that sustained unbelievably.
Well, I will tell you this. After that happened, I became fascinated with near-death experiences. Other things happened I didn't get into on the air that I don't even remember if I put it in my book, but for about 2 years, I got my hands on every publication regarding near-death experiences because I saw some stuff. I'll just say that. And it was enough to shake me up, and I made a decision I was going to get my life together. But a short time later, I kind of went back to my old ways. But it's something I look back on now, and definitely the hand of God was on me because there's no way I should have survived that crash.
Well, in many dimensions, there's no way any of us should survive, period.
That's right.
We go through our lives,
and
there are so many times we can be taken out, and we accept what are miracles as if they're just normal.
That's correct. My goodness.
And when you have the eyes to see it, all of a sudden everything opens up. And so, as you say, sometimes you go back to sleep. Well, we all go back to sleep, but Rabbi Weinberg would always scream, "Life is a fight to wake up."
Oh, my gosh. That's right. That's right. What a wise spiritual man he is. Is he still with us?
No, he's not. He passed away some years ago. Mm. But his yeshiva is still there in the old city of Jerusalem, and there are many other subsidiaries to it. I don't know if you've heard of Aisha Torah.
I have.
Yeshiva?
Oh. Yes, 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 I have.
He was the rabbi who started it. Yeah, Aisha Torah means the fire of Torah.
One of my good friends who I haven't seen in a few years lived in L.A. He was the director of the Museum of Tolerance. His name is Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein. We became really good friends. He moved to Israel a few years ago, and I was invited the last Friday before he left with his family for a little bit of a Friday night get-together. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Shabbos.
That's right. It was amazing. It was nothing like I ever experienced, and I was so grateful that he thought highly enough of my wife and I to invite us. And whenever I get to Israel in the not-too-distant future, he's always said, "You've got an open invite." So I'm very grateful for Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein. And,
he's a very special man.
Yeah. As you are. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. 800-222-5222. Justin is in Simi Valley. Justin, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC.
Good evening, Frank. How you doing?
Good, Justin. How are you?
Good, Frank. Frank, what you just said a few minutes ago about the left destroying our kids' heads. I want to simplify that, Frank, if that's okay.
Please.
It's the Democratic Party, Frank, that's destroying our kids' heads and brains and our beautiful souls. And it's, I call it a war on women, Frank. It's what's happening to women right now is a complete and utter travesty. And we have to speak out about it, Frank. We can't send our women to school anymore because there's somebody peeing beside them in the restroom, and they can't go swimming because there's a guy swimming beside them and winning the race. It's a travesty. And in the White House, Woman of the Year, they gave it to a guy wearing a dress. Frank, we have 50 million females in America that we can pick from, and that's the best they can do. It's a travesty what's happening our girls and our women. It's just a complete shame.
So earlier today, I was interviewed on another radio program. This issue came up, and the host asked me point blank, how did we get here? And I really didn't have an answer. Maybe you do, but what I did say on the air is that where are the men to stand up and say, not on my watch, not to my daughters. No way, no how.
Correct, Frank. And here's my question I have for you, Frank. No female should ever, and I mean ever, vote for the Democratic Party. They are destroying the beautiful souls of our female girls going to school. It's a travesty, and no one really understands what's happening. And you have, like, people going to university and are studying gender studies. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They do a 3-year degree for gender studies. When they're finished a degree, they don't even know what a woman is.
That's right.
Frank.
That's right.
They don't even know what a woman is. You ask any Democrat, what is a woman? They can't answer you. It's laughable. But this only works in America, Frank. I come from Ireland. This doesn't happen in Ireland, Frank. This doesn't happen in Europe. This only happens here. Only here in America. This stuff, this nonsense, I call it nonsense, doesn't happen in Mexico. People would laugh at you. If you started saying stupid stuff like that in Mexico or anywhere in Europe, they'd just laugh at you. It only happens here, Frank. It's amazing.
Justin, I'm grateful. I'm glad you called back. You are welcome anytime. Thank you for calling tonight. I do have one comment about what Justin shared. I'm going to be very transparent. For most of my adult voting life, I was registered Democrat. I've even said on the air, for a good deal of time, I was a left, progressive, radical environmentalist. This party right now that identifies as being Democrat is not the party of decades ago. This is not the same party. I don't talk politics a lot on my show, but this particular party has been infiltrated by leftists, Marxists. This is very dangerous. And what I think I can say this on the air, this expression, what chaps my hide is that people that are registered Democrats now, most of them, and you think as recently as just a few years ago, because they hated the previous president, they're going to stay Democrats. And it's like, look at the policies of this party. They're wrecking the middle class. They're killing this country. This administration, the latest with the uncovering of the whole ruse of taking millions of dollars from the Chinese government and Biden's laptop, Hunter and all, and how people can just bury their head in the sand that say they're Democrats and tolerate this stuff. I don't get it. Maybe because a small segment of them are very affluent and rich and, you know, all of the things going on attacking the middle class doesn't affect them. But my goodness gracious sakes alive, to quote John Wooden, what are we doing? I heard a very good friend say before I got on the air, and then I'll come back with our final segment. He said, you know, in some ways, it's really good all this stuff is coming out because now people are really seeing it for what it is. And then we can decide, is this government still representative of we the people? I'm not so sure it is. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. One final segment is next for Hear the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, our final segment here on the Frank Sontag Show is upon us. Have you gotten your income taxes done yet? Are you thinking about it? Another reason why I'm grateful to be on the air is Phil Liberatore and the IRS Problem Solver sponsor this program. Phil has been at it for decades. He is a dear friend. We went to high school together, and he is second to none. Full range of financial services, tax prep. I mean, they do it all there. And maybe you're in line for a reassess. They can go back 3 years, take a look, maybe even dig up some money for you. Or if you're just thinking about filing taxes, maybe you've not done that for a while, call them. 877, the number 6-SOLVER. 877-6-SOLVER. Also, stopirspain.com. Thank you, Phil Liberatore and the IRS Problem Solvers. I have followed the story for 8 years. High school football coach Joe Kennedy has reached a $1.8 million settlement with the Washington School District that placed him on administrative leave in 2015 for the crime of preying on the football field. The Bremerton School District Board of Directors voted unanimously on March 16th in favor of the settlement because they had to, by the way, to cover Kennedy's legal expenses. This case went all the way to the Supreme Court. He has been reinstated, will return to school as the assistant football coach for the 2023 season. It's an outrageous story. 8 years this man was persecuted. He used to pray to himself on the 50-yard line at the end of the game by himself. Somebody complained. And then some students would go out, started to join him, some of the football players. He would mention God and faith. And when some people got all wigged out, contacted the school district, they asked him to stop. He said no. And they, in all essence, fired him in 2015. It's unbelievable. He later sued the school district on the grounds that what he did, his prayer was protected under the First Amendment. Supreme Court in June of last year ruled 6-3 in Kennedy's favor, finding that indeed the First Amendment protected his right to pray on the football field. And you got to listen to the president of the school board. Her name's Allison Rotter. I mean, they had to by law now, but listen to the rhetoric. Quote, "We look forward to moving past the distraction of this nearly 8-year legal battle so that our school community can focus on what matters most, providing our children with the best education possible. We will fully comply with the court's order to treat Mr. Kennedy's personal religious conduct the same way the district treats all other personal conduct by coaches at football games," end quote. Yeah, why didn't you do that in the first place? I'm going to sign off with the quote from a young woman. And I would venture to guess not one of you have ever heard of a 21-year-old woman named Sophie Scholl. Sophie Scholl was raised under the Nazi party in Germany in the 40s. She was part of the Nazi youth. Her brother, I believe his name was Hans, became a part of the resistance. Hans was Christian. Sophie was as well. They used to pass out brochures, literature, flyers saying how to stand up to the Nazi party. Sophie got involved, and I think it was Munich University. They were putting pamphlets in the hallway, and she had one stack left, and she threw it over the balcony, and the janitor saw her, turned her in, her and her brother, and they were executed. They were beheaded by the Nazi party for resistance. It's known as the White Rose Resistance Movement. And I want to read a quote to you of the many things this 21-year-old woman wrote. And it reminds me in part Justin when he called in and talked about young women and what are we doing as men and how can this happen. Listen to 21-year-old Sophie Scholl. Quote, "The real damage is done by those millions who want to survive. The honest men who just want to be left in peace. those who don't want their little lives disturbed by anything bigger than themselves. Those with no sides and no causes. Those who won't take measure of their own strength for fear of antagonizing their own weakness. Those who don't like to make waves or enemies. Those for whom freedom, honor, truth, and principles are only literature. Those who live small, mate small, die small. It's the reductionist approach to life. If you keep it small, you'll keep it under control. If you don't make any noise, the boogeyman won't find you. But Sophie Scholl once said, but it's all an illusion because they die too. Those people who roll up their spirits into tiny little balls so as to be safe. Safe from what? Life is always on the edge of death. Narrow streets lead to the same place as wide avenues. And a little candle burns itself out just like a flaming torch does. I choose my own way to burn. 21-year-old young woman gave her life to fight the Nazi Party, calling people out. Complacency, indifference, apathy. I read that at my last men's gathering. And I want to sign off with this. And again, those on hold, I apologize. Please call back next week. I'll make a priority to take more calls. But I want to be really clear about this, because this is something I get accused of all the time in my men's ministry. You're so angry. You're so negative. You beat men up. Couldn't be further from the truth. Am I challenging? You bet I am. As Justin and I were talking about, how can we let some of the push by Marxists in our country and people that identify anti-God, how do we put up with it? Because men are indifferent. I loved many points about what Sophie said, but the one that really stands out, those who don't like to make waves are enemies. Yeah, God forbid we stand for something. God forbid we stand against evil. Evil doesn't even hide itself anymore. I know there are people listening right now. You may not even be one that identifies as Christian. You may not even have faith. Maybe you're agnostic. You know in your heart of hearts, on some level, whether it's overt and clear or whether it's subtle, you know something is amiss here. There's something very dark and sinister going on right now, not only in our country, but the world. As a man who looks to the Bible, it's really clear. It's in the Bible. But what do we do? Do something. Stand for something. Sophie wrote, for those whom freedom, honor, truth, and principles are only literature. Right? My goodness. And here's the deal. Last thought. Jesus was asked the greatest commandment. He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says no greater love hath he than to lay his life down for a friend. We haven't discovered what real, true love is. It's in the Bible. I talk to people all the time. Oh, it's so scary out there. You know, men that have been beaten down by culture. And I tell them, there's a greater enemy out there. You're in a battle, you've been taken out, and you don't even know who the enemy is. And I speak mostly to men of faith. As a former New Age teacher, I believe there was no such thing as evil, no such thing as Satan. Yeah, guess what? Give your life to Jesus Christ and all that'll change. But if not now, when? What an exciting time to be alive. And what an exciting time to stand with the breath God gives you against forms of evil. Take your pick. It's everywhere. But do something. Make waves. God bless Sophie Scholl and her spirit that still lives on. If you missed any of this program, or if you listened to past programs and segments, you can hear entire podcasts of this program at franksontag.com. Also, Lord willing, we'll be back next Friday evening. We are here every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. And have a great night. Have a great weekend. No rain in the immediate forecast. That's kind of cool. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. You are listening to the first talk station, Talk Radio 790 KABC.